Hi, it's David Sayo, my question. When you finish process, there should be something on why I'm not trying to do this.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem.
Good evening.
You, we left off in Bechoris. We were learning last week. We left off in the middle of the topic. We were learning last week. In the Midbar, there was a Hirua Shoah. It's in Parshas Bamidbar. It should take Tachas Halavim, Tachas Kol Bechor, Bivnei Yisrael. There was Bemes Halavim, Tachas Behem Tom. So there were 22,000 levim, and there were 22,273 bechorim b'bnei Yisrael. So the 22,000 levim were replacing the 22,000 bechorim b'bnei Yisrael, but there were an extra 273. So the din was that those 273 bechorim of Bnei Yisrael, that there was no Levi to take their place, they had to give five slime for Pidyon HaBen. Just like Doris, the Doris is a din, a bechor has to, you need Pidyon HaBen. Either the father gives or the bechor himself, if the bar mitzvah, he gives his own Pidyon HaBen. So in the midbar, that's the 273 bechorim who didn't have any levy to replace him, they had to give Pidyon HaBen money. Then it says, as Behem Tom, Tachas Behem Halavim, this Behem Tom Shal Halavim, Tachas Behem Tom of the Yisraelim. Means the Yisraelim had Petre Chamorim. They didn't pater Bechor Behem Torah. The Bnei Yisrael who had Petre Chamorim, so he's supposed to do Tifta B'Seh. So the Levim, who is Behem Tom, the Levim who had a Seh, just like the Doiras, it says, Petach Amar Tifta B'Seh. The din is, the Gemara is going to have it later on this parak. Tosfos already quotes on this daf. Let's say I have a Petach Amar is born, and the Petach Amar, when it's born, it's worth $100. It's going to grow up. It'll be worth a lot of money. And I'm going to be paid the seh. I have a seh that's worth $10. So I can be paid the petach amor, the seh. I'm gaining $90. I'm only giving a seh worth $10 to take the place of the petach amor, which is worth $100. So the Gemara says later on in the Perek, and this is quoted on his down, you can be paid with tuna fish also. You can be paid with other things as well. But if you paid with anything else other than seh, you have to give shavyo. But if you paid the seh, then you can get away with much less. You can make money on the deal. But the chamor is worth $100, and the seh is only worth $10. So I'm making $90 on the deal of being paid. The din usually is, if a man is mekadosh an isha, with Isuri Hanoah, so the Mishnah says it's the end of the second parak in Kiddushin. Ikmei Mekadosh and Isha B'Kesef, Osho B'Kesef is Dina K'Kesef. Our minig, based on the Ramoa quotes from the Tikkuni Zohar, our minig is when Mekadosh B'Tabas. Tabas is Shabbat B'Kesef, so the Gemara assumes that Shabbat B'Kesef is Dina K'Kesef. And Kol HaTarakula, there are some cases of Shabbat B'Kesef is Lato, I pick in my Sasheni, and Machzal Shekel, the Gemara has a third case in the Rabbana. There are three cases of Shabbat Kesef, Lav Kekesef, but usually Shabbat Kesef is Kekesef. So here you can be paid the Petach Amor with other things other than a Seh, then you have to give Shavya. If you give a Seh, you don't have to give Shavya. So there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin, if you're Mekadosh and Isha with Yisuri HaNoam, is Zainim B'Kodeshes, because it has no Shavyas. But the Gemara says, what if you Mekadosh and Isha the Petach Amor? So the Petach Amor does have Shavyas. If you have Basa B'Chalav, it's also Banor, the whole thing is also Banor. So the Rishonim give three different explanations. If you Mekadosh and Isha, Yisuri HaNoah, why is Zainim B'Kodeshes? So some say that it's Zainim Shaloi. You can't have Bailus on Yisuri HaNoah. Some say that it is shaloi, but it's saying it b'shusa. B'shusa means you have access to it. You have the ability to use it. It's also manoid. You can't use it. And other Rishonim say, Rashi says a different explanation. If you have Yisurei Noi, it is shaloi, and it is b'shusai. The din is you're not allowed to gain any benefit from it, but the people don't always observe the din. So Rashi holds it is shaloi, it is b'shusai, but it's not shavei pruta. Shabbos is determined off the din kama u'shavei lim kavashu. So since it's against the din, you're not allowed to sell basa b'cholim. You're not allowed to sell chametz b'pesach. If you sell Yisurei Hanoi, you're getting Hanoi. You're getting money for it. So you'll be in violation of Yisurei Hanoi. So when you say, how much are the Yisurei Hanoi worth? It's not worth even a Shavuputa. It's worth less than a Shavuputa. Not worth anything. It's not even worth less than a Shavuputa because you're not allowed to sell. So Shabbos is always determined, Kamahu Shavulim Kabashuk. That's what the Nesivus has in several of his Svarim. Let's say, Lamashal, a man survived the concentration camps. And he had a little sitter that kept him alive the whole time. So that sitter was all torn and all filthy and dirty, but that's what kept him alive. So if you would want to sell that sitter, so to him it has sentimental value. This is what kept him alive in the concentration camp. But if you want to sell it on the market, it's worth less than a penny. Who's going to pay money for it? It's an old torn sitter, all worn out. So the receiver says, if someone is an Adam Amazik, he's going to destroy that city. He doesn't pay anything. Sentimental value is not called Shabbos. Shabbos is Kamba Hushavalim Kabashuk. How much can you get if you sell it? So that's where Rashi learned that Yisurei Hanoi are Shalom, and they are Bushusai. It's a big machloikis in Rishonim. Some Rishonim say Yisurei Hanoi are in Shalom. Some say it is Shalom, but saying it Bushusai. Bushusai means you have access to it. Let's say if a behemoth was stolen, I own a behemoth and a ganav stole it. So it's shali, but it's ain't a b'shusi. I don't know where it is. The ganav is holding on to it. So it's shali, ain't a b'shusi. So that's what some Rishonim say. It can't be Mekadosh and Isha with Yisurei Hanoi. Some say it's ain't a shalai. You can't have ownership on Yisurei Hanoi. Others say you can have ownership, but it's ain't a b'shusi. So therefore, it's something that's shali, ain't a b'shusi, it can't be makna to someone else. And Rashi has a third shot. Yisurei Hanoi are shaloi and they are b'shusa, but it's not called shavei pruta. But the Gemara says if you mekadosh an isha with a petach hamor, since you can be petach hamor tifta b'seh, the petach hamor is worth $100, and the seh will only be worth $10, so the petach hamor is worth $90 to me. I can be paid b'seh, and it'll be worth $90 now. So if I'm mekadosh an isha, the petach hamor, that's a machlekes at the end of the parak, where the machlekes are beauty, Reb Shimon, machlekes are tanai, where the petach hamor before pidyon is also bahanoa or not. Hegdish before pidyon is also bahanoa. But let's say you do pidyon aben. Pidyon aben is the baby also bahanoa before, so some, the Sfarin HaChumash writes like that, and some Achrenim writes like that, you're not allowed to play with your baby until after you do the pidyon aben. But the pashtus, that's against the Gemara. The Achrenim point, that is against the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the first parak says that by pidyon aben, the pidyon is not taking off any Yisurei Hanoi. So that's a machlokes Rabbeinu Reb Shimon. When you talk about pidyon petach hamor tifta b'seh, the pidyon says because the petach hamor is also b'hanoi before, like pidyon hegdish. Pidyon hegdish takes off the Yisurei Hanoi. Or should I say no? Pidyon petach hamor, it's like pidyon aben. It's a mitzvah to do pidyon, even though you're not taking off any yisa. So that's a machlokes of Rabbeinu Reb Shimon. We pass from petach hamor before pidyon is also b'hanoa. It is also b'hanoa, and you need the pidyon in order to take off the yisurei hanoa. So despite the fact that usually if you mekadosh an isha with yisurei hanoa, the Mishnah says ani mekudeshes, but petach hamor is an exception to the rule because it is shavuot. It's the petach hamor is worth $100. It's going to grow. It's going to develop. It's going to become a big hamor. The petach hamor is worth $100, and the tifta b'seh it says only worth $10. So the beni beni, I'm a kaddish the issue with the $90. The beni beni, the difference. That's what the gemara says. So the gemara says in the days of the midbar, there was a hayru ashor. The Gemara assumes there were probably more Pitrei Chamorim by Bnei Yisrael than there were Seim by the Levim. There are probably more. So the Gemara says, Se Echad Ben HaLevim Patet Kama Pitrei Chamorim of the Yisrael. Because it says, Vespemes HaLevim Tachas Behem Tom. So it sounds like, that's how the Gemara interprets, sounds like one Behem of the Levim patted many Pitrei Chamorim of the Yisrael, one behem of the Levim. The Doris, we said last week, the Rishonim say on this side, the Sheet Mukobetz says, the Doris, there is no such thing. Let's say, have two different Pitrei Chamor, have two Chamorus, and each one gave birth to a Zohar, first one, and there was no Nephil before. So, Pitrei Chamor Tiftavis says, so you can't be paid there. You can't use one set to be paid at two Pitrei Chamor. If you use one set, the Vasach has to be paid at two Pitrei Chamor. You really be paid each one with a half a set. The Halacha says you have to be paid at Tifta B'set, not with a half a set. And nonetheless, in the Midbar, that's what happened. Se Echad Patar, Se Echad Shal Levi, Patar Kama Pitrei Chamorim Shal Yisrael. So that was Ohiru Ashur. So usually we have a din. There are dinim ledoris and there are dinim hayru ashur. The dinim ledoris, that's whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said. The Rambam has this off the 13 Ikori Hamuna. So one of the Ikori Hamuna is that we believe in Nevuah, we believe Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Hanavim. What do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Hanavim, who was greater than the other Nevi'im? Just covered, who is bigger than whom? Yeshaya maybe was greater than Yirmiyah also. The Gemara talks about which Navi was greater. But that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than the others, so it means more than that. What it means, the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Perigit Anoshe, that today we still continue to observe Bris Milah, not because the mitzvah was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Any other Navi before or after Moshe Rabbeinu was only given a Vuah. The Vuah by definition means Hayru Ashur. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one. He was given Hayru Ashur also. He was told they should knock on a next door neighbor's doors and ask for Matonis before he'd see us in Mitzrayim. That was Hayru Ashur. That's not a Din L'Doris. And he told them when they bring the Pesach in Mitzrayim, they should do this because Badam Ashtiyah Mezuzas V'Alamashkov, there is no such din the Doris V'Chalta Mosa B'Chipozon Mastech M'Chagurim Na'lechem B'Raglechem Akelchem B'Yedchem. These are all Haru Ashur Ayetzish M'Pesach Pesach Ad Boiker. These are all Haru Ashur. So Moshe Rabbeinu got a lot of Haru Ashur. Also Moshe Rabbeinu gave a lot of dinim. You shouldn't leave over the month till the next morning. That's all Hayru Ashur. The fact that we still observe Gid Al Nasha today, so the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Gid Al Nasha and Chulin, it's not because the mitzvah Gid Al Nasha was given to Yaakov Avinu. No, it was given to Yaakov Avinu. That was a Hayru Ashur. That's not the Doris. The reason why it's still binding today, we still observe Bris Milah today, and we still observe the mitzvah Gid Al Nasha today, is because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. That's what I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNeviim. That's the same as what the Rambam wrote, that the dinim in the Chumash Os HaTorah lo seim uchlefes. The dinim in the Torah noig l'doris. So the only one who was given dinim l'doris is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means, he's Adon HaNeviim. He had the highest level of Nevuah, but all the dinim that he said, most of the dinim that he said, are noig l'doris. Some of the dinim that he said were only Haru Ashur, but most of the dinim were Torah mitzvahs that are binding l'doris.
The Rama, Priya to Yoshua.
What about what?
Yoshua was given Priya now. By Mila.
Yes. Usually the klal is that those are Torah lo seim uchlefes. The laws of the Torah never change. But some of the dinim in the Torah have changed over the years because it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu like that. So that's what the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes, that none of the laws of the Torah are going to change in the future. except for one, which is going to change. There are going to be 9 Ari Miklot instead of 6. The Rama said, that's the only thing that has yet to change, because I was told to Moshe Rabbeinu that it's going to change. Or take, for example, another din has already changed. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, we'll come into Eretz HaShalom and Miskenes Kochal Balechem Yochal Tavisavot Averakta Es HaShem Alekech Al Horetz HaToy V'Hashem Osan Loch. If when we eat lechem, Toy V'Miskenes Kochal Balechem, if you eat lechem Kedei Sviya Chal Tavisavot Averakta, you're obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon. So Moshe, when the man came down and they made bread, lechem and hashamayim, when the man came down and they made bread with it, the Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun birchas hazon. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first bracha. But it says in the Chumash, al ha'aretz ha'toyva, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave you Eretz Yisrael. No, but we didn't have it yet. We didn't get Eretz Yisrael until later when Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, after Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Sheva Shekavshu, so then Yeshua ben Nun composed the second bracha, and from that time on, there were mukhoyev to say two brachas in Birchas HaMazon. Then it says, al ha'aretz ha'toyva, ha'shenosalah. So the word ha'toyva has a connotation of Yerushalayim, ha'or ha'toyva hazeh b'halavona. That's how the Gemara says in brachas. So David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as his capital. So when he established Yerushalayim as Al-Pidin, the political capital of Eretz Yisrael, Al-Pidin, he composed the first part of the third bracha. We thank you for giving us Yerushalayim, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech wanted very much to build the Beis HaMikdash. Every time he was victorious in battle, he would set aside all the precious metals, the gold, the silver, the copper, and so on, for the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash. And then when it was peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, so the Nabi told me you're not allowed to. Dam Rab Shafachta, Mokam HaMikdash has to be a Mokam Shalom, and you killed a lot of Palestinian terrorists. You did it, the big mitzvah. But the Beis HaMikdash has to be built. You're going to have a son Shlomo, he's going to be in Shalom, and the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be peaceful during his reign, and he'll be the king of Eretz Yisrael. He'll build the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he added on the second half of the third bracha. The first half of the third bracha was composed by David HaMelech. We thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. And then the second half of the third bracha was composed when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. That's Al Oretz Virachtas Hashem Elokecha Al Oretz HaToyv HaShenos Anloch. So Virachtas Hashem Elokecha means thank you for giving us the food. Al Oretz, you have to say the second bracha, thank you for giving us Eretz Yisrael. HaToyva, you have to say thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. First, David HaMelech composed half of the third bracha when he established Yerushalayim as the capital. And then when Shlomo HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the Makom HaMikdash, he composed the rest of the third bracha. So in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't say the second bracha and the third bracha. Those were added later, but it's Min HaTorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, just like the Rambam says, the 9 Ari Miklot. Moshe Rabbeinu said it's going to change. So this also Moshe Rabbeinu said. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, for Eretz Yisrael, for Yerushalayim as the capital, and for Yerushalayim as the Makom HaMikdash. So that's what Tosfos says when you get to Bris Milah. The Gemara says in Yevamos, the beginning of Perek HaOral, that during the Midbar, only Shevet Levi was Mekayim the Mitzvah of Milah. The rest of the Shvatim were afraid. The weather conditions were such that there was a slight suffix sakana. You're not allowed to perform a bris milah if there's any suffix sakana. The bris milah has to be a successful surgery. If the moel does the bris and the baby dies before the bris, then the Gemara says, not that you were yotze the mitzvah, but you shouldn't have done it. You're not yotze the mitzvah. If it wasn't a successful surgery, the Gemara says, you're not yotze the mitzvah. That's a Gemara m'sochet. If the baby is put into sakana because of the bris milah, and then you have to take care of the sakana later, you have to treat it medically, the Gemara says that's called makshir emilu shal achar emilu. That's called makshir emilu. It's not that it's muta because of pikuach nefesh. It's more than pikuach nefesh. If the baby won't survive the bris milah, it'll be a gloy milsa mafrei. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah milah. The din is that it has to be a successful surgery. So the Levium were the only, in the Midbar, the Levim had bitochen. They weren't nervous, so they were practicing bris milah. The rest of the Shvatim didn't practice bris milah. So that's what we spoke about, the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuvas, bothered with Akasha. How did Moshe Rabbeinu allow such a situation that Shevet Levi is performing bris milah, the others are not? If Shevet Levi is right that the suffix Akana is so insignificant, Moshe Rabbeinu should have insisted that the other Shvatim should also observe bris milah. And if the other Shvatim are right that there is a slight suffix Akana, and the Gemara says in Ksuvus Lahocha B'Pikuch Nefashas Acharayv, and there's a suffix Akana, you're not allowed to rely on right. You have to be concerned about the miut. So if the other Shvatim are right that there is a concern, a suffix Akana, so Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have allowed Shevet Levi to perform bris milah in Manavsha. Either Shevet Levi is right or the other Shvatim are right. So the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva works on that kasha. He gives a complicated answer. But the Pashtus is, like Rav Chaim Moser writes in his Tshuvas, he doesn't write on this kasha of the bris milah in the Midbar. He writes Bechlal. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. Shem Epsoim Hashem Daloisi B'li Yoshia from Halo. The Gemara quotes Shem Epsoim Hashem. If there's a slight suffix sakana, and people are not nervous about it, you don't have to worry about it. So Rav Chaim Moser quotes from the classical major poskim, if there's a suffix akana that's anywhere near 50-50, that doesn't matter what you think. You're going to jump off of the Empire State Building and say, look, man, no hands, I'm not nervous. If it's anywhere near 50-50, that's a suffix akana, and you're not allowed to be machnas yourself into a suffix akana. But if it's nowhere near 50-50, so then the poskim say, then we apply the rule of Shem Epsai Mashem. For the one who's nervous, it's considered a suffix akana. For the one who's not nervous, you say Shem Epsai Mashem. It's not called a suffix akana. So that's why in the Midbar, everybody was facing the same situation. The eight-day-old baby didn't have any opinion. He doesn't know what's going on. So the parents who are responsible for the well-being of their children, so they have to make the decision. So those parents, the Shevet Levi had bitochen, so they were not nervous. So for them, you say Shem Epsai Mashem. It's not called the suffix Sakana. And for the rest of the Shvatim, they were nervous. So it is considered a suffix Sakana. So the whole time they were in the Midbar, the other Shvatim didn't observe Bris Milah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu commended Shevet Levi. Mizrach Habracha says as Brischa Yintzaru. All the 40 years, they observed Bris Milah, as opposed to the other Shvatim, who didn't observe Bris Milah. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Yoshua, when they were in Gilgal, so they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yoshua Banun, Shuv Mal Es Bnei Yisrael Shenis. He should demal everybody a second time. It means even those who had already a Bris Milah in Mitzrayim, and even the Levim had a Bris Milah the whole 40 years in the Midbar, they had to do a second bris. What shaykh a second bris? There's nothing to cut off. So that's what the Gemara says, no. From the days of Avraham Avinu through the days of Moshe Rabbeinu up until Yeshua was in Gilgal with Bnei Yisrael, they only did milah. They didn't do priya. Milah is when you cut off the or ha-orla, the thick skin around the Eivor HaZachrus. But then there's a thin membrane that's below that also covers over the Eivor HaZachrus. So the din of milah from the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun only required milah to remove the or ha'orla, and they never took off the or ha'priya. And then Yeshua ben Nun changed the din. He said, from now on, you have to do priya. So Tosfos says that kasha in Yevamos in Perek Ha'orel. Towards the end of Yevamos, there's a Perek Ha'orel. Most of the din of bris milah appear in Perek HaBlezer de Milah, Masech HaShabbos. But some of the dinim appear in Avodah Zarah, and Psochim, and other Masechtas. So the Gemara has in Perek Ha'orel and Yevamos that Yeshua ben Nun told the Menavuah, now from now on they have to do Priya. So Tosfos asks, they should have given Yeshua ben Nun Oynish Misa as a Novi HaSheker, and Novi HaShalach Hadish Dov HaMeyata. The Gemara in the first Daf in Megillah quotes the Pasuk. The Marsha is not sure whether it's the last Pasuk in Chumash VaYikra or the last Pasuk in Chumash BaMidbar, because they're both practically identical. Eila Mitzvah Zachu Kem Mishpatam Shatsi Hashem is Moshe Bar Sinai. Only what Moshe Rabbeinu told us is binding Lidoris. Everything else is only Haru Hashoah. No other Navi can contradict Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave all the dinim of Lidoris. So Tosfos says, how can Yeshua ben Nun? How can they believe in Yeshua ben Nun? That from now on, for Milo, you have to do Priya. He's changing the din that Moshe Rabbeinu said. No other Navi can contradict Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tosfos says, Be'achreach, we must assume that just like Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's going to be a day that there are going to be nine Ari Niklod. Moshe Rabbeinu said that the text of the Birchas HaMazon is going to change over the years. I'm only composing the first Brachas on a Sakol because we have Mon. When you conquer Eretz, you're going to have to add on a second Bracha. When you establish Yerushalayim as the capital, you're going to have to add on a third Bracha. When you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to add on the second half of the third Bracha. You're going to have to add on. So that's not called changing things from the worst Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said it's going to change. So Tosfos says, Be'achreach, you have to say the same. By Milo Priya, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, told Yeshua ben Nun, told Bnei Yisrael, it's halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, that the day will come that a Navi will appear. He didn't say who it's going to be. Navi will appear, and the Navi will tell you, now it's time to change the din of Milo. You're going to need Priya mikan al habo. So we have all of the dinim that in Noeg L'Doiris constitute one big unit. That's how the Tosefta says. All the dinim in halacha blend in to be one big mosaic. That's why you have a right to learn that midin echad lachavei, right? You learn a kavachaymer and mamatzina from one din to the other. And the assumption that kol ha-Torah kula inyan echad. That's in the Tosefta, that's a machlokes ha-Tanaim. Tosefta in Sanhedrin. The Tosefta has like this. The Rebbe is giving a shir on gittin. Then the Talmud raises his hand. And he asked the question on the kvoz that has nothing to do with Gittin at all. So we pass in Lalocha, the Talmud has to apologize to the whole student body, all the students, and say, Shaloki Inyan Shalti. I take back my question, it has nothing to do with what we're learning, I take it back. And then one time I think Rav Meir disagrees and he says, no, everything is interconnected. And even if he asks a question on mikvoz and the learning Gittin now, call it Tarakun Inyan, everything is connected. So I think everybody agrees, kol ha-Torah kula inyan echad. It's just a machlokes, does he have to apologize or not? But we all agree, kol ha-Torah, everything in halacha is interconnected. Otherwise, wouldn't be able to learn that midin echad l'chaveira. So they say from the Vilna Gaon that it's not that kol ha-Torah kula inyan echad, everything in halacha, all the tarayag mitzvahs, everything is interconnected. There are three different areas of halacha. And they quote from the Vilna Gaon on the Pasuk, "Polim imcha dava la mishpa bein dam le dam bein din le din bein nega le nega." So they quote from the Gra, "Kan kilu la Torah kol gimel chelki Torah." Yeah, bein dam le dam is isa v'heter, bein din le din is dinim mominus, and bein nega le nega is tuma v'tara. So all the dinim and isa v'heter blend in to make one mosaic, one pattern. All the dinim and dinim mominus blend in to be one system. All the dinim in Tumah V'Tara blend in to be one system. So that's perhaps why the as a cloud isa mi Tumah lo yafinam. You can't learn a mamatzino from Tumah to Issa, or isura mi mamayna lo yafinam, because isura is one area, isa v'etta mamayna dinim mamanis is another area, Tumah V'Tara is a third area. But within each area, you learn out mi dinachad l'chaveira, because they all blend in. All the dinim amres blend in to be one system. All the dinim in Yisra'eta blend in, and all the dinim and Tumah Atar blend in to be one big system. That's why you can learn that, min din echad l'chaveira. Well, we have a klal in the Gemara, it's a klal in the Chumash, Doris Misho lo yafino. That's in Parsha Shemini. It says, Nesirachatas Dorosh Darash Moshe v'hinei Sarof. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, why, Madu l'achaltem esachatas b'mkom HaKodesh? Why didn't they? I told you, the Rabban Shalom said, they should eat all the karbonis, even though they're in a state of aninus. So Moshe Rabbeinu confronts Elozer v'Yisam, and he says, Madu ala achalta masachatos. So Aaron HaKoyen argues that the case. And he said, the Doris Mishol lo yafino. You were given a Haru HaShoah. We should eat baninus, the karbonis that are only Haru HaShoah, for Hanukkah HaMizbeach. But today is Rosh Chodesh. Yom Shmini L'Miluim is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And our Rosh Chodesh should bring a soil achatos. That's a din l'doris. The doris mishol lo yafina. all the dinim that are l'doris fit into be one big pattern. Everything in dinim mamonis fits in to be one pattern. Everything in isra'at fits in to be another pattern. And everything in tumah v'tar fits in to be one pattern. Whatever's harasha is not called Torah. That's called nevuah. So doris mishav lo yafina. Doris mishav lo yafina. So here, this is a problem. In the midbar, the Levim had, let's say they had se'echot potah kama pitri chamorim shel Yisrael. The Israelim had many pitri chamorim. The Levim didn't have so many pitri chamorim, but se'echot potah kama pitri chamorim. The Dervis, there is no such thing. That's what the Shita Mekubetzis explained on the side of the page. The Dervis, if you'll be paid at two pitri chamorim with one se'e, means you paid each one on a chatzi se'e. That's not acceptable. But the chamorim tiftah, you have to be paid on a whole se'e. Can be put on a chatzi set. But nonetheless, a little bit, we do learn out, Doris Mishor. We learn out that just like in the midbar, se'echot pata pitri, kama pitri chamorim, and that din is not true in the Doris. It can't be paid the basachas. But bezachas, you can. You can be paid the chayzabet paid. Let's say I have a suffix peta chamor. So I'm paid the set. Then I keep the set. I don't have to, usually, tif to bisa, you give this set to the Kohanim. It's one of the Chof Tavad Matan's Kunit, Petach Hamor, tif to bisa. But over here, you have to be pointed, the Suffolk Petach Hamor, you have to be pointed to remove the Issa Hanor. If the din would have been like the other one, that Petach Hamor is Mutaba Hanor before Pidyon, so if you have a Suffolk Pidyon Petach Hamor, you wouldn't have to be pointed. There's no Issa Hanor. But because we pass in Allah, Petach Hamor, the Pidyon, is also banor. So when you have a suffix petach hamor, you have to be paid a biser. But then that says from the chof tavad matan's kuna. But here this is suffix whether you're mukhiv to give it, because it's a suffix petach hamor. So you have to be paid a biser and you keep the biser, because that's a din hamor. It's a machaber all of harai. So that's what Tosis points on. I use this biser to be paid a petach hamor, and then I have another suffix petach hamor. I can reuse the same set a second time, because it belongs to me. Usually when I'm paid a vadai petach amor b'set, the set doesn't belong to me anymore, it belongs to Shevet Kuhuna. So I can't use the set a second time. Unless I'll buy it back, unless I'll give the set to the Kohen, then I'll buy it back. That's how Rashi learns. I give the set to the Kohen, and then I buy it back, and then I want to use that same set to be paid another petach amor. So Rashi says, he can be paid of a chayzer or paid of. And Tosfos says, well, what a funny case. He gave it to the Kohen and he buys it back. Tosfos says, no, it goes on this case. He had a suffix petach hamor. And because petach hamor kodesh pidyon is also banos, you have to be paid of, because suffix is surah l'chumra. But then you don't have to give it over to the Kohanim, because suffix mamayna l'kula. The farmer keeps the suffix pidyon petach hamor. And then he has another suffix petach hamor, so he can be paid the second time on the same set. So that din we learn out from the midbar. So usually we have a klal doris mishor lo yafinim. That's what Aaron HaKohen pointed out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu asked, "Madua, sirachatos dorosh derash Moshe nenei sorov." It was a soy rosh chodesh. He asked, "Madua lo achaltam sirachatos b'mkayim hakodesh?" I was instructed that they should eat it baninas yochlua. So Aaron HaKohen says, no, you were only told about kodshei shor, not about kodshei doiris. And doris mishor lo yafinan. All the dinim, the doiris fit in to be one big system. And that's the dinim, oinen is not allowed to eat korban, not allowed to eat maaseh sheni. I didn't eat maaseh sheni in the state of baninas. And it's a kabbachim. If you're not allowed to eat maaseh sheni in the state of aninus, you're not allowed to eat any karbonus in the state of aninus. So that's what Aaron HaKohen argued, doris mishor lo yafinam. So that's a problem over here. A little bit we are learning out. We're learning poida v'chayzer poida. You can be poida with a petach hamor with a set, and then you can use the same set to be poida a second time. See, learning that out from the midbar, because in the midbar there was a hirasha that one se'echad ben alavi imparted many pitri chamorim of the Israelim. So that din does not apply to doris. You can't be paid by basachas on one se' many pitri chamorim. But b'zach hazeh, you can. So we're learning out from the Hayrasha, we're learning out a little bit. A little bit. That's the problem. How do you split it? How do you split it? Take the such a din also. In the Midbar, they had a Mishkan. The Doris, there's no din of a Mishkan. It doesn't travel. You have a Mokum Kabu and Yerushalayim and Hara Maria. You build a Beis HaMikdash. You don't travel anywhere. But the Mishkan was Atzishita Momdim. So what does it mean, the word Omdim? So the Gemara says, Kedera Kedilosam. Atzishitam, you have to build the Krushim the same way they grow from the ground. You can't have it upside down. If you make an Aron Kodesh from wooden logs, you can use the wood upside down also. Because there's no din that you have to build an Aron Kodesh with wood. You can make it from metal, you can make it with plastic also. So whenever there's a din, you need a natural item that grows from the ground. It has to be Kederach Dilost. So on Sukkos, when you need the Lulav and Yestrig, after all the Dalmin and Kederach Dilost. So that's a question. All the dinim of Atzishitim Omdim, the whole thing was only Hayrashah. A mitzvah building a Beis HaMikdash, that's a din l'daris. But this detail, Atzishitim Omdim, this was a Hayrashah. So how can you learn out l'daris from Hayrashah? That is a problem. That is a problem. Take, for example, the Gemara has a rule, Mechidish lo yafinu. What does it mean, a chidish? What is a chidish? So we usually use the term chidish if it's a din that I would never think of that on my own. That's a chidish. So the Torah tells us that's a din I would never be able to figure it out on my own. That's not what it means, a chidish. Tosfos in Yevamos, in the first paragraph, Zion, Tosfos says, chidish is dovah asoses haklal. Chidish means an exception to the rule. So if you have a pasuk in the Chumash, you have a parsha in the Chumash, and one detail of that parsha doesn't fit in with the rules of Kol HaTorah Kula, it's davar seisos hakatz chiddush. So then we apply the rule mechiddush le'afinon, even to learn out a different detail halacha that we don't think contradicts any rule of Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara says, take for example, basa b'chalav is a chiddush. Why? Basa b'chalav is a chiddush. That usually kavush kamevushal, if you soak kosher food and tray for liquid for 24 hours, the kosher food is going to have a bliya, and you're not allowed to eat it. Kavush kamevushal, and basa b'cholav, kavush kamevushal is only awesome in the rabbanah. It's only awesome in atayrah. There are bishul awesome atayrah. So because kavush kamevushal, because basa b'cholav is a parsha. It has one din a chiddush, davar seisos haklal. It's an exception to the rule that you don't say kavush kamevushal. It's an exception lekula. So you can't learn out anything from the parsha of basa b'chalav, even lechumra. Even though the chiddush is only lekula, you can't even learn out lechumra. Every time you have basa b'chalav, it's always based on tam ki ikar. Either you have steak that has a little milk in it, a little butter in it, or you have milchiks, add a little bit of fleshiks in it. It's never going to be exactly 50-50. Either the milk is going to be the roiv, or the flesh is going to be the roiv. The roiv doesn't have to be kefal, it doesn't have to be twice as much. If one is 51%, one is 49%, so menatar, it should be bottle b'roiv. So we say a din, since it's nice and tam, so tam ki ikar is the rice. That's how we pass on Shulchan Aruch. Nice and tam, even though it should have been bottle b'roiv, because the heter is 51%, and this is only 49%, so it should be bottled b'roiv. So tam ki ikar, it's not bottled b'roiv. So the Gemara says, where do you learn out tam ki ikar? Should you learn it out from basa b'cholav? Because it's impossible that basa b'cholav is going to be exactly 50-50. Either the milk is going to be the roiv, or the steak is going to be the roiv. It can't be, it's going to be exactly 50-50. That's impossible. So the Gemara says, let's learn out tam ki ikar from basa b'cholav. From the whole institution of basa b'cholav, we see that tam ki ikar, that the miut is not bottle whenever it's nice and tam. So the Gemara says, you have no right to learn out the chiddush, this din, the chumra of tam ki ikar deraisa from basa b'cholav, because we know basa b'cholav is a chiddush lekula, that you don't say kovish kamevushal. So Rabbi Kivega and the Gilyan Ashas points to that. You see, when you have a big parsha, and there's one din, that's Seisar HaKlal, there's one din that's different, it's an exception to the rule that you don't say Tam Ki Yik, even though that din is a Chiddush L'Hokil. So it says, you can't learn out anything from the Parsha, even Tam Ki Yik L'Hachma, you can't learn out. But over here, we don't say it like that. Over here, we say, Doris Mishor Lo Yalfinan, but a little bit we do, you do learn out. So that's the question, why? But the Hirashah part of it is a Yotzim and a Klal. They were pointed with one set of the Levi, they were pointed many Pitre Chamorim, Vivasachas. And that doesn't bother us. That was the Hirashah in the Midbar. So since there was a Hirashah, how can you learn out even Paida L'Chazu Paida? How can you learn out any Din L'Duris from what happened in the Midbar, since the Midbar was a Hirashah? So that's an issue. We got to know more Gemaris to figure that out. This I don't know.
Rav Schechter, so, in the Midbar where the Levim were not afraid to give brisin, so didn't the other Shvatim, okay, fine, so in the beginning they were afraid, but didn't they notice that year after year after year?
They got sick.
Yeah.
I don't know, they were still nervous for 40 years. They were nervous, and they didn't want to perform the bris meal. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give anybody Musa. Didn't give any tochacha because they were both right. The Levim were right because they were not nervous, and the other Shvatim were right because they were nervous. Whoever is nervous after 40 years, why are they still nervous? That's a good question. But people are nervous, yeah. People are nervous. So that's really what we discussed last week. The Se Echad Shel Levim Potter Kama Pitre Chamorim Shal Yisrael, that was the Hirashah. Because the Doris, you can't have the Vasachas. Use one set to be paid more than one Pitre Chamor. You can't be paid on a half a set. You have to be paid on a whole set. But B'zeh HaZeh, you do learn out. You can be paid the Chayzah paid that, you do learn out from the Midbar. I, what happened to the rule, Doris Mishalai, Afinot, it's a little bit, you do learn out. I don't know. It's Saint Shaila by Atzeshitim Om to me. I have in a few places. In Shas, you learn out from a parsha in Chumash that's clearly a Rasha. You learn out that one of the details of the parsha was not a Rasha. That's a very big chiddush. Let's see. So we discussed here. Really discussed the Gemara till Dalet Amud Beis about the fifth wide line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth wide line, Itman. There's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. When did the mitzvah of Kiddush Bechoros begin? Did they have it in Mitzrayim? Did they have it in the Midbar? Did it only begin when they came to Eretz Israel? So it starts off, it sounds like it's the first, there's several versions here. The first version is that it's a machlekes of Yechon Reish Lakish, Itmar, that's the fifth white line, on Dalet Amud Beis in Bechoros, Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kidshu Bechoros Bamidbar. In the Midbar, the 40 years, there was a din of Kedushas Bechoros. Bechor Beimatar, Bechor Beimatimea, and Pidyon Aben of the people. And Reish Lakish disagrees, Lo Kidshu Bechoros Bamidbar. What are the psukim, what is the base? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kidshu Bechoros Bamidbar. The Rachman Amar Lakatsha, the Rabban Shalom told us that it's not a Kiddush Sid, Kaddish Li Kol B'chot. That was right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, when they went into the Midbar, they were given the din to be Mekaddish B'chot. And Reish Lakish says, wrong, Lo Kiddush B'chot is by Midbar, how do you know Mirch Sid? Because the Pasuk is about Mirch Sid B'Ayoki B'Yacha. When you will come to Eretz Yisrael, Lo Chsid B'Asra B'Avarta, Kol Peter Rechem L'Hashem. So you see, only after they came into Eretz Yisrael, then you say, V'arta, v'chlal, the inference is, the Meikor of Loi Kodesh. In the Midbar, before they entered Eretz Yisrael, the din didn't apply. So it sounds like a makleks of Yechon Reish Lakish. Then the Gemara says, Eis vei Rab Yechon Reish Lakish, vei Ktar Kash, there's a, what is this? A Braisa. Eis vei Rab Yechon Reish Lakish, that's the first version. The Rab Yechon Reish Lakish, when the following brisa that says, up until the time that Moshe Rabbeinu, erected the Mishkan, Oyubamis Metaris and the Midbar. It was mutter to be makro kabanas on the bamas. Vavodah bibechoros. Avodah bibechoros means that the Bechor had a special kedusha more than everybody else. So you see the kitchen Bechoros. You see that the Bechor Adam, Bechor Adam has a kedusha that instead of Kohanim, after they erected the Mishkan, so the Kohanim were back the Kabbalists instead of the Bechor. But up until the Hakamas HaMishkan, there was a Heter Bamas, and the Bechorim did the Hakravas HaKabbal. So you see that there was Kedusha's Bechor. And for the Gemara, Amalei, so Reish Lakish answers, Reish Lakish also in the Midbar, Lokich Bechor, the one now. Amalei, so Reish Lakish, no, Basim Shiatsim in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they were told also to be Mekadosh Bechoros. Those who were born in the Midbar, there was no din of Kedushas Bechor. They were born after Hakamas HaMishkan. But those who were born in Mitzrayim, they were adults when they left Mitzrayim, they had a din of Bechor. They were makrov the Karbonis and the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed. That's what the Gemara answers. And for the Gemara, Amalei, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yechonon, those who were Bechorim in Mitzrayim at the time of Makkas Bechoris. So the Bechorim in Mitzrayim died and Bechor Yisrael when this captured. Achanami Mistavi, you have to say like that it means the adults who survived at the time of Makkas Bechoris, they had a Kedusha. What are you going to say? The Bechorim only got Kedusha later after they were told in the Midbar they didn't. No. So when the Mishkan was constructed, how old were they? Mishkan was built a year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Bechorim who were born in the Midbar were only 1 year old. They were less than 1 year old. They were born in the course of last year. 1 year old, they can't be makro karbanis. Obviously, the Bechorim and the Midbar were makro the karbanis before Hakamas HaMishkan. They were the Bechorim who were already adults at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They were born way before. On the occasion of Makkas Bechoris, Yikdashadli Kol Bechor, the Bechori Mitzrayim died, and the Bechori Yisrael survived, and that's when they were Niskatru. The adults were Niskatru at that time. That's what the Gemara answers. Frank Demacharli Machshain. Okay. Okay. Then you skip a little bit. Then Gemara has Eisvei. Yes, another Kasha. Yechon, yes, another Kasha. Also, Hayom. What is this? Is a Brisa in Seder Olam. It says on the side, Seder Olam is a history book that's written by the Tana Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. And the Gemara, when the Gemara quotes the Seder Olam, it says Tanya b'Seder Olam. They consider it like a Brisa. It's not Mishnayis, but it's considered like a Brisa. So it says in the Seder Olam, Osa Yom Shukam HaMishkan, that day that they constructed the Mishkan, Kervo Lehem b'Yisrael, Nedorim, Nedobis, Chatoas, Vashomis, Bechoros u'maisris. The day that they constructed the Mishkan, they were makriv all of these kinds of karbanos. What karbanos? Bechoros. So you see that the Bechoros one is kachu. Bechor b'ematar is a carbon. So you see that they brought the karbanos. Oth ha'yom shehu kama Mishkan. That day, they brought the Bechoros in the Mishkan. So you see that there was a kedushas hakamish lakish say. There was no Kedushas Bechoros until after they entered Eretz Yisrael, based on his Pasuk. As to say again, Reish Lakish quoted the Pasuk. I already forgot. Vayoki b'yachor. And says, Vahavarta kol peterech. Only after they come. How can he say that? David says in the Seder Adam that they brought Karbonis, the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, they brought Bechor. And with the Gemara, the same answer. When Makkas Bechoris occurred in Mitzrayim, all the behemoths that were Bechorim didn't die. The Jewish behemoths didn't die. So those were the Karbonis that they brought, the Bechor behemoth Torah, they were Makriv. The first day that of Hakamas HaMishkan in the Midbar, that's Reish Lakish agrees, the Bechorim that were already born before Makkas Bechoris, Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makkas Bechoris, those are the Bechorim that they were Makriv. Break the Gemara. Umi, no, really. So you should infer from that. Umi, Dino, and infer from that the following. Osa Yom Hudikor, Mekami Yalach Loikor. Only that day they brought all the Bechoris that were already born, had already Bechor Behematur that had been born before Leo Makas Bechoris, Mekami Yalach Loikor. After the first day of Hakamas HaMishkan, there were no more any Bechoris, because Lokitcha Bechoris Ba'midbar. That's Rish Lokish is right from the Seder Elo. Because it says, Osa Hayom, only the first day of Hakamas HaMishkan, there weren't so many Bechoris. Bechor Behematur. That was from before, from the times of Marcus Bechoris. So they brought it at that time. That's Rish Lokish holds, because he holds in the Midbar, Lokitcha Bechoris Ba'midbar. Sure. Ika de Amri, and another version has everything pum faket. That not that Rabbi Yechanan asked these kashas to Rish Lakish, but rather Rish Lakish asked it to Rabbi Yechanan. Esri, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan. Ika de Amri, second version. Also, Yom Shukam Amishkin, Kavi Lamri Sodom, Dharma Dom, Chatos, Vajram, Svaris, and Mice, Osir, Amen, Kambi Elach Loi, it sounds like only the first day. That's what he just said, the last line. That's Rish Lakish defended his opinion. Shlokish holds the Bechoris that were born in the Midbar, the men who were Bechor, and the Bechor Beim HaTorah, and the Petach HaMor, none of them were Kaddish, only after Kisavoy Al HaAretz. The Rekiviach Hashem, when I come to Eretz, he saw that it would be. But in the Midbar, the Bechoris were not Kaddish. So Shlokish proves it from the Braisa. It says, Osayom, only that day, they brought the Bechoris that were already in Niskachu at the time of Makas Bechoris. But for the rest of the Midbar, there weren't Makavirim Bechoris. So don't you see, like Rish Lakish? Don't you see, like Rish Lakish? So the Gemara says, what does the Gemara answer? Also, Yamakam B'Yalach Loi, if the Gemara wrong, Eim Azog Azoi. That's not how you read the Bryce. Also, Yom B'Yalach. No, from that time on, the Rabbi Yechan says, Kidja Bechoris Ba Midbar. And not only the Bechoris who were born, the Bechor Behematar that was born before Leal Makas Bechoris, when they built the Mishkan, even the Bechoris that were born later in the Midbar were also, they were Makriv in the Mishkan. Umaykam Ashmolon. So, if you tell me only the like Rish Lakish read the Seder Elo. The first day they brought all the Bechoris, not time on, not, because lo kitcha Bechoris ban midbar. But if you tell me kitcha Bechoris ban midbar, so what is the Chiddush they're saying that osa hayom, if it means mes hayom le'elach, what's the Chiddush? And if they're Michael Mashmalon, answer is mes hayom en meikor eloi. Why? Because al mechayv is bebom eloi korev. You only, before they built the Mishkan, there was a heta bomis. But on a bomis, you're only allowed to bring ishkal ha'yashabein, only yishoris. Yisharis means the dormant adobis. Out of the goodness of your heart, your magdish and carbon, so that you're allowed to bring on a bama. But they weren't allowed to bring the dormant adobis they were allowed to bring, even on the bamas. But Bechor is a chiyuv, that you're not allowed to be makrav on a bama. So that's how Rabbi Yechanan interprets the Braisa. So the Gemara goes back and forth a little bit. Gemara has another version, a second version of the Machlekes of Yechon and Rish Lakish. Gemara has a second version, on the last line. The Gemara says, Adli Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. No, there's another version of what the Machlek is. The last line and a half on Dalit of Adli Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. There was a Machlekes of Yechon and Rish Lakish lived in Eretz Yisrael. So out of the Chachmei HaBavli, no. So they had Talmidim from Rabbi Yechanan used to come to Chutzlah to Bavel and tell them over. So sometimes they told them over incorrectly. Sometimes they told them over half a word. And they had mistaken traditions from Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Because they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, they lived in Bavel. So the Gemara says, they said it over wrong. Ali Yitma, Hachi Yitma. Yeah, there is a Machlekes, but it goes like this. Rabbi Yechanan Mekitshu V'loi Paskel. In the Midbar, the Bechorim that were born, the Behemoth, and the Petchamor, and the Behemothor, and the people, had a Kedushas Kor, and it never changed till they built the Mishkan. So then the Bechor Adam no longer did the Akrabas HaKrabanas, but the Bechor Behemothor, that remained. Kitchu V'loi Paskel. Mishlokasham HaKitchu Paskel. For a while there were Bechorim, and then it stopped. So the Gemara says, The Gemara said that's problematic. It's a problematic. The Gemara says, Bishlema the Rish Lakish Kiri Amatana. Rish Lakish, we understand. How does he know Kitshu? Because it says, Kadishli Kabachar. They were told in the Midbat. How does he know Pasku? Because the other Pasuk says, Vayoki Viyacha, Havata Kalpeta Rechma Hashem, only when he come to Eretz Yisrael. So apparently, when that was told to them, Vayoki Viyacha, Vahabarto, so Pasku. So the Kedusha's Bechor on the Behemoth ended. And then it only came back again after they came back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks now on the top line on Ayamid Aleph, so now we know, Bishleimer, Rish Lakish, Kiryam Ataima. Rish Lakish claims there were Kitshub, Chorez Bamid, Bobat Pasku, as he said from the Pasuk. As it says in the Pasuk, Vayoki Viyacha, Vahabuta. Elder Rabbi Yechana, my time, how does Rabbi Yechana know Kitshub, Aloy Pasku? And so the Gemara says, Rabbi Lozar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechana in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Lozar says he comes to defend his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechana. How does Rabbi Yechana know Kitshu v'loi Pasku? Rabbi Lozar, Rabbi Yechana, I had a dream, and he had a vision of Rabbi Yechana in his dream. So he says, Rabbi Lozar, the second line from the top, Rabbi Yechana chazoi b'chelmo. I had a dream, and I saw Rabbi Yechana. I remember what he looked like. He passed away, but he remembers what he looked like. And he saw him in a dream. So therefore, Rabbi Chazai b'chelma, milsa ma'al yisa amina. I know I'm going to say a good word to defend Rabbi Yechana and Shita. What's the good word? Rabbi Yechana learns that from the mashmos of the Pasuk. The Bechorim were chosen, li'yihiyu ani Hashem. So li'yihiyu, they're kitshu v'loi pasku. Whenever it says li, it's kaim le'olam le'olam le'olam. That the Bechorim were chosen, and it was never changed. That's the Makam. So then the Gemara has a third version of what the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is. So he says, a few lines later, Amar Amot Chalei Rav Ash Atun Hochi Masnitun Lo. That's the way your tradition has it. Rav Ashi lived in Bogo. And Amot Chalei, I don't know. Rav Ashi lived in Bogo. So Amot Chalei tells him, that's your version. We have a different version of what the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish Anan. We have a totally different version. Everything is fakir. So the Gemara says, how can everything be fakir? We just had a tradition. Who asked the kasha to whom? You tell me, Rish Lakish is the one who holds kitshu. Rabbi Yechana holds loy kitshu. So all the kashas were backwards. And then Rabbi Loza came to defend. Rabbi Loza was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechana. So he says, I had a dream. And I said, Rabbi Yochanan, my dream, so now I'm going to say an emes avot. He's going to say, Milsa ma'al yisa. Now you're telling me that Rabbi Lozer, who is a Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan, came to defend Rish Lakish Shita, that it was kitshu v'loi pasku. The whole story doesn't make sense. Everything is backwards now. If you have Anan, you have a whole different version, so nothing makes any sense. So Gemara says, no. Amalei, no, when Rabbi Yochanan says, lo kitshu v'chores ba midbar, it does mean that the din kedushas b'chor was not. It means lehutz b'chor kodesh. There was no need to be magdish the b'chorim because the b'chor is kodesh me'elo. When the b'chor is born, it's kodesh me'rechem. So the Rabbi Yechanan said lo kitshu b'chor is ba'midbar. It doesn't mean there was no kedushas b'chor. There was no need to be magdish the b'chorim because they were kodesh me'rechem. So the Gemara says so that's the same as Rish Lakish said kitshu b'chor is ba'midbar. There was a din of b'chor. So what's Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish? They're both saying the same thing. Mora says, you're right. They said the same thing. Each one expressed it differently. Rish Lakish, according to Rabbi Mordechai, Rish Lakish said, Kitshu b'chores ba'midbar. Rabbi Yechanan says, La Kitshu, there was no need to declare them as Kodesh because they were Kodesh me'aleim. But they both said the exact same thing, but each one had a different way of expressing it. Okay. Then the Gemara goes off on a different tangent, about how they were counting all the money. Okay. It's a different halacha. Let's see. The next Mishnah. On Hey Amid Beis, there's a Mishnah. There's a din, Petach Hamor Tifta B'Set, but if it's a mutation, let's say you have a Petach Hamor, and it's a mutation, it doesn't look like the mother, so then that's called nidme. It looks like a different animal. So then it doesn't have a kedushas. It's a din both by bechor behema tahira and bechor behema tameya. If it's a nidme, it doesn't have kedusha. If it's a bechor behema tahira, bechor behema tahira, shor kesav eis. So then it has a kedushas haguf. You makriv it on the mizbech. And if it's a petach hamor tif to beseh, the gemara has a lashon, has a kedushas damin. Also has a kedusha, but not a kedusha gufli korev on a mizbech. As a kedusha's domain. It's also called hegdush. Not stam that petach hamor is also banu and tif to beseh. The gemara calls it kedusha's domain. There is a rambam in hilchas bikurim. Perik yud beis. Halacha Dalet, the Rambam writes, Petach Hamor Asabano, before you do the pidyon, that was the machlekes at the end of the perek, Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon, and machlekes hatanam, we pass Petach Hamor before pidyon, is Asabano. So the Rambam says, V'imachora kodim pidyon doma vasur. And if you sell the Petach Hamor to someone else, since it's Asabano, it's a doma vasur. So the Ravid asks, since when? Let's say I have basa b'chalav is also b'anor. What else also b'anor? Or look, le'akerim is also b'anor. Seir nozir, a lot of things that Mishnah, in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, gives you the full list of all of the isuri hanor, for the purpose of, if you mekadosh anisha b'kesef, so you can be mekadosh either b'pruta or b'shove kesef, b'shove pruta. But if you're Mekadosh, but Yisra'ano, it's any B'kudash. So we said the three explanations, either because Yisra'ano are Reino Shaloi, so you can't, the Chosin doesn't own the ring, if it's also B'ano, or it's Shaloi Reino B'shusa, because he's not allowed to use it, he doesn't have access to it, Al-Pidin, or the way Rashi learns, it's not Shavu Prut. So the Mishnah says, if you're Mekadosh and Isha B'orlo, or B'kloi HaKerem, or B'basa B'cholov, or B'seyo Nozir, Einim b'kodeshes. What if I have chametz b'pesach? Mekadosh einim b'kodeshes. Chametz pesach is also b'ano. What if I sell a chametz and I get money? So you're not allowed to sell a chametz and get money. That's called getting ano. If you sell orla, you sell kloy akerim and you get money, then you're getting ano from Yisur. So you're not allowed to get ano from Yisuri ano. But the Mishnah says, Mechoram, Mishnah says at the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, Mechoron, the Kiddush, the Tmeya, and the Kodeshes. If he wants to be Mekadosh, the issue with the Orla, the pears that grow from a tree the first 3 years. A lot of times nothing will grow. But if something grows, so that's also Bano. Or Kloy HaKerem, if you have a Kloy HaKerem, is also Bano. Abbas B'cholov, Abbas B'pesach, also Bano. So if you're Mekadosh, but Orla, but Kloy HaKerem, and Mekadoshes, what if Mechoron, the Kiddush B'dmeim, he sold and he got money? He wasn't allowed to do that because he's getting money for selling his Yisra'ano. He's getting Hanor from his Yisra'ano. But if he did sell it, then he's Mekadosh the Ishtu with the money. So the Yisra'ano are not Teifs B'dmeim. When they have something that Teif has Domov, so there's a Din Hegdush is Teif has Domov. When someone donates something to Hegdush, someone else buys it, someone else is paid there. So the Kedusha goes off from the Hegdush and goes on to the money that he's giving. So that's called Hegdush Teifes is Domov. What else is Teifes Domov? Avodah Zarah Teifes is Domov. If a Jew has Avodah Zarah and he sells it to someone else, so the money that he gets becomes also Mano. Avodah Zarah Teifes is Domov. And Perish Shviyas are Teifes in Domov. If you have Perish that grew in there, it's sold during Shnas HaShmitah, and you sell it to someone else, so that's long down from a Pasuk. That is like Hegdush. Kodesh Tialachem, it says in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, it says every 7th year is Shemitah, and then it says it's Kodesh, and then it says again it's Kodesh. So Ashan Chumash quotes, it already said that it's Kodesh. So the first time it says it's Kodesh means that Shnas HaShemitah has a Kedushas Zman, just like Shabbos has
a Kedushas progress.
So just like Shabbos has Kedusha in their 39 Malachas, so Shnas HaShemitah, the whole year has Kedusha. There is Yisuri Avodah Zakarka. You're not allowed to do Malacha Zakarka. But then it says a second time, Kodesh Tialachem. So that goes on the Peris. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that the Peris Shviyas that grow in Eretz, so the Peris Shviyas have a Kedusha's Peris Shviyas. And if you sell a Peris, the Kedusha's Teif is Domov. So the Peris remain Kodesh, and the Kedusha goes on to the money also. The Peris are not also bound up. The Kedusha's Peris Shviz only has one din. That it's liochla below the hepsit. You're not allowed to throw out any perishvies. Liochla below the malugma. Not allowed to make medicine out of perishvies. Liochla below the menochas. You're not allowed to use perishvies to bring a korban mincha, because then you're going to make a kmitza and burn it on the mizbech. That's liochla below the hepsit. You're going to burn it. Liochla below the schara. You're not allowed to make big business with the perishvies. So those are all the dinim of the Kedusha's perishvies. Everything is based on that one word, liochlo. Voice of Shabbos Hatzachem liochlo. Liochlo v'lo lehepsid, liochlo v'lo lemelugma, liochlo v'lo leschoira, liochlo v'lo lemenochas. All the dinim based on liochlo. So the Gemara learns that out from the Pasuk. It says twice, Kodesh. So once, the first time it goes on Kedusha's Hazman, Doshnas Hashmita has Kedusha, that you're not allowed to do Avodah Sakar. And then the second time it says Kodesh Dialachem, it goes on the Peris. The Peris have Kedusha's Peris Vizli Ochlo, with all the restrictions. And if you sell it, so the Peris retain their Kedusha, and the money that you get instead, or the Peris that you swapped it for, they gave you other Peris that have no Kedusha Peris Viz. So they're Nitvas, that's Teufel's Dhamma. So the Rabbit asks, the whole Sugi and Kiddush in the end of the second parak says, all other Israel Hamno are not Teufel's domain. Only these few. Abidazar Teufel's Dhamma, Egdush is Teufel's Dhamma. What else? Perishvis are Teufel's domain. But where does the Ramam come off with such a Kiddush that the Petach Hamor is Teufel's Dhamma if you sell it? So that's what in the Yeshivas they say, because the Gemara here refers to B'chor Be'ema Tehoira as Kedushas Haguf. You makrif it on the Mizbech. And Petach Hamor, you're not makrif it, but it has Kedushas Damim. Gemara doesn't just say Stam, it's also Ba'anoa. Petach Hamor is also Ba'anoa in Tifta B'seh, and it says from the Matan Skuna. Gemara says that Petach Hamor has a Kedushas Damim. So it's like Hegdish has Kedushas Hegdish. So that's the Din Hegdish, it's Teifas Damot. If you sell Hegdish, it's Teifas Damot. That's what they say, the Mokka for the Ramam is that he says if he sell Petach Hamor, the money becomes also Ba'anoa. So again, here the Mishnah has, I'm going to get to Petach Hamor. If it's a mutation and it doesn't look like the mother, in either direction. The mother is one animal and the blood is a different animal. So if it looks and gansen, it's a nidme, it's a total mutation, it doesn't look like its mother at all, it doesn't have pturim and abchor, the old din abchor b'tmeh doesn't apply. So the Mishnah learns it out from one pasuk. Then the Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Yosef Glili, learns it out from a different pasuk, and the pasuk is by B'chor Behema Tohera. So, and nobody holds you need two psukim. The Mishnah presents it that the pasuk that nidme, if it's a mutation, it doesn't have the din of B'chor Behema, of B'chor, the pasuk is learned out from Petach Hamor. And you learn out just like Petach Hamor, if it's a nidme, if it's a mutation, doesn't have a din, doesn't have the Kedushas Damim, so too if it's a B'chor Behema Torah, it won't have the Kedusha Guf. And the other Tanur, Rabbi Yosef Glili, holds Fakir, the Pasuk is by B'chor Behema Torah, that if it's a Nidme, if it's a mutation, doesn't have the Kedusha Guf. And you learn that Petach Hamor, Amam Matzino, from the B'chor Behema Torah. And then we're going to have a whole Arichas about that. How each Tanur learns the other Pasuk. But that's what the Gemara said, it's a din of Nidme. The din of Nidma. The Gemara has an interesting comment on the second white line on Daf Hey on the base. You have the Abraisa, you have Abraisa, Rabbi Yosef Rab Chanina, Rabbi Yosef Rab Chanina. The Torah tells us there's a din of B'chor Behem Torah by Shor, and by Shor, or Chol Shor, B'chor Kesev or B'chor Eiz. They're all Behema Torah. A Shor is a Behema Gasa. It's a 9-month pregnancy. And Kesev the Eiz is a Behema Daka. It's a 5-month pregnancy. But they're all Behema Torah. So they all have the same din. That Yemakrev it on the Mizbech, has a Kedusha Guf on the Mizbech, and Yemakrev the Emurim. Yemakriv dechelev on the mizbeach. All the other karbonos you have psukim echumish vayikra. And over here you need psukim to tell me that b'chor shor, b'chor kesav, b'chor reis, they all have to be makriv emurim. So he makes a kama lama namer emurim. Why is it written three times? B'chor shor, emurim, b'chor kesav, emurim, b'chor reis. So the matzvicha, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says you need it. Because if the pasuk would only be written by one of them, I would have thought only that one needs emurim, and the other two, let's say by shor, would have said a b'chor shor needs haktaris emurim on the mizbeach, but a b'chor kesav, a b'chor reis, is not a tchomer, so it just needs rikas hadam. I would think it doesn't need a murim. And if we go and say by b'chor kesev, there would be reason to argue only kesev, and shor and eis don't need a murim. If it only say it by the eis, I would have said it. So the Gemara explains the whole svara. Why you would have thought each one has a chumra, I would have thought that the other two kinds of b'chor deim metorah would need haftaras emurim. It would be enough with zrikas hadam and pratik b'di'evit. Haftaras emurim is not mi'akeh. The only thing, even by all three of them, by all karbonos, emurim are not mi'akeh. Only the zrikas hadam, the dalat avodas hadam, are mi'akeh by all karbonos. Dalat avodas hadam, hashchita kabbalah halacha and zrika. The dalat avodas hadam are mi'akeh. But the emurim are not mi'akeh. But if you wouldn't have the pasuk repeated by all three, but b'chor shor, b'chor kesev, b'chor eis, I would have thought you only need a haktaris emurim by the one that it is written. So now I needed the three psukim that in all three cases of b'chor, you need haktaris emurim. Then the Gemara has a comment. How do you know petach hamor tifte b'seh? How do you know it only applies to chamor? Maybe chamor is a dugma. Maybe it applies to every behemoth tmeya. B'chor, a very behemot measure, tifta b'seh, m'lasifta b'arafta. Who said that it's only chamor? So the Gemara says, because that's on the last three lines. Rav Yosef Glili Aymer, the last three lines on Heyom and Beis. B'toch she'nemar, ach bar esifta es b'chor ha'odam es b'chor behemot meya tifta. Behemot meya. It doesn't say which. So one might have mistakenly thought, shemei ani, I might think, Afila Pitre Susum and Gemalim, all behemoth Tameo, is a din, Tamalona, Petr Hamar, Petr Hamar. It says twice. It says twice. Petr Hamar, Mahati Loch, Lo Pitre Susum and Gemalim. Greg the Gemara, no, it says once, it says Petr Hamar. One time it says, Bechor Behemoth Tameo. So, Bechor Behemoth Tameo, I would think maybe it goes on Susum and Gemalim also. So the answer is no, it says Petr Hamar. Now the Gemara says, but maybe Vaday Nani Yoma on the last line. Maybe Petach Hamor Tifte B'Seh and Gemalim and Susim Yiratoy De B'Seh. But maybe every Petach Behemah Tmeya is also Banor. Maybe the Tifte B'Seh is only by Hamor. Frek Digmar Vaday Nani Yoma on the last line. Petach Hamor is Tifte B'Seh. Pitcher Yisusim and Gemalim, b'chol dover, you can be poida in anything. The din is, it can be poida petach hamor in anything, but you need b'shavyo. So here the hafamina would be, maybe by petach hamor tifte b'seh, even though it's not shavyo. Petach hamor is worth $100, and this is worth $10. So you marvichem the beni. You poida b'seh $10, and you marvich $90, you marvich. Maybe by pitcher Yisusim and Gemalim, maybe you can use it b'chol dover shelo b'shavya. Maybe the din of b'chor behemoth tmeya applies to all behemoth tmeya. And the thing that's unique to petach hamor is that you need daf kaseh and susim and gemalim. You can be part of the b'chol dover shelo b'shavya. But that's what the Yosef Glili says. No, on the top line it says damalam petach hamor. Petach hamor. It says twice in the chumash petach hamor. Shnei panim, only petach hamor matelo pitre v'lo pistei susim. It doesn't apply to Susan Ugman. Okay. That's just establishing what the din is. It doesn't apply to the other behemoths. Yeah. The Mishnah, this Mishnah we just saw, the first half of the Mishnah talks about Nidme. If you have a Parashi Olde Min Chamor, Chamor Shi Olde Min Sus, it's a mutation, so the whole Kedusha is B'chor Behemoth Tmeya. The Kedusha's Dhamma doesn't apply. Shenemba Petach Hamor, Petach Hamor, Shnei Bonin, Shoy. Then the second half of the Mishnah is a different din. We have a din the Mishnah has, we have a pasuk, Bas Hayana. An ostrich is a an oif tame. In the Chumash only gives simonim by fish, it has to be snapa v'kaskeses, and by behemoth v'chayas, it depends on malagem afris parsa. By oifes, it doesn't tell you the simon. It gives you a list of all the non-kosher birds. So the Tanoim figured it out, what the klal is. So there's a Mishnah in Elotrefus, the Mishnah towards the end of the Perek Elotrefus. What are the simonim to identify? That's a famous sugya, complicated sugya, the sugya of Nesher. Nesher, we usually assume Nesher is an eagle. So Rabbi Natan said Nesher is not an eagle. They're long balamor there. It's a famous, complicated sugya. But the Mishnah tells you, and there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, what are the biological simonim on the bird to determine whether it's a kosher bird or a treifa bird? Right. So the Chumash lists off as one of the non-kosher birds, Bas Hayano, the female ostrich. So the Gemara asks, only the female, and the male is kosher? How can it be? If the female is not kosher bird, so the male is also not kosher. They have all the same simon. The Gemara says, no, Bas Hayano refers to Beitza Soif Tomei. Not only are you not permitted to eat an eagle or an ostrich, you're not allowed to eat the egg. The egg is not, there's no basa there. The egg is an egg. Why should it be a difference whether it's an egg from a chicken, a hen, or an egg from an ostrich, or an egg from an eagle? So that's the pasuk. Bas Hayano, that's a din of Yetzer ben Atomei Tomei. Not only a pig is usher, the pork of the pig is usher. If the pig gives off milk, the female pig gives off milk, the milk is also usher. And if the non-kosher eagle, or the non-kosher ostrich, lays eggs, so the eggs are also usher. To what extent are the eggs usher? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik points out in his Sefer on the Rambam that's a major machlokes, Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos shita, there is such a Tosfos in Egel Treifus. Tosfos holds that you get malchus. If you drink the milk of a pig, or you eat the eggs of a non-kosher bird, just like you get malchus if you eat the besara pork, or if you eat the flesh of the eagle, there's malchus. So too there's malchus if you drink the milk of the pig, or you eat the eggs of the non-kosher ostrich. The Rambam disagrees. How could it be? The law only goes if you eat besar beimut meyer, or you eat besar oif tamei. Here you're drinking the milk, or you're eating the eggs. So the Rambam's opinion is only an isar say. It's not an isar lav, it's only an isar say. Machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim. So that's the din of yotze min ha-tamei tamei. Yotze min ha-torah tor. The milk from a kosher animal is mutter. The eggs from a kosher bird is mutter. The sakya question, how do you know? The kosher bird, calls man yirin shechted, v'heima b'chaya b'cheskas yisra, that is. Let's say the milk that comes from a kosher cow. But the kosher cow calls man yirin shechted, v'heima b'chaya b'cheskas yisra, that is. And an oif need shechita, calls man yirin shechted yoif, it's also b'chila. So why don't you say even the milk from a kosher animal should be yotzman atomei tomei? Because the kosher animal, because man yirin shechted is b'cheskas yisra, and even the eggs from a kosher bird should be also. So Gemara's going to have a whole discussion on the next dot. How do you know that milk is mutter in general? So the Gemara says, well, from the fact that you have an institution of basar v'cholov, so it does not show that the basar is mutter, the cholov is mutter, and when you cook the two together, then it becomes also. Not necessarily. Maybe the cholov is also, and if you cook it, maybe there's always an issa, and if you cook it, even cholov of a behemoth tahira. And if you cook it together with the flesh, maybe there's a lois essay in addition to the yisr essay of yotzei min ha-tamei. So the Gemara is going to have to prove, how do you know milk from a kosher animal is kosher? How do you know eggs from a kosher bird are kosher? Gemara is going to prove that. So that's the second half of the Mishnah. Ayotze, mahim b'achila, if you have a parasha yolda min chamor, a chamor sheyolda, let's say, chamor sheyolda min sus, either way is awesome. The chamor is treif and the sus is treif. But let's say the other way. Parah sheyolda min chamor, or chamor sheyolda kemin parah. So it's a toss-up. Is it a kosher animal, or is it a behemoth tamei? So the Mishnah says it depends on the mother. Mahim b'achila, If it's a mutation, what's the din of the vlad? That's not the same as the mother. So it depends. Because basically it's a behemoth Torah, it's just a mutation. And the reverse, is also bachila. It was all the way back to Sheshis Meibesh, it was gomel, 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 and now the gomel gave birth to a set. The gomel gave birth to a pura. But basically it's a mutation, basically it's a gomel. So since it's a gomel, so it's also bachila. That's how the Mishnah ends up. Hayotze men atami tami, hayotze men atohar tohar. Tami and tohar does mean mekabel tumen. Tami means an oif tami or behema tmeya. And tohar means an oif tohar, a kosher bird, a kosher animal. Yeah, so the Gemara is going to have discussions of the details. When do you apply this din? Hayotze men atami tami. That's it. This is quoted in the Yerideya. Let's say you have a camel or a chamor gave birth to a parah. And it looks just, the vlad is a mutation, looks just like a parah. Malagir maf is parsa. So you say you're not allowed to eat the chamor, sheyolda kimin parah. It's a mutation, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Pischei Tshuva on Yerideya quotes a sopik from the Achronim. What's the nature of the Yisra? They say since it's Chamor, 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 all the way back to Sheshes Meibreshes, so even though it gave birth to a Parah, it's really a Chamor, and it's really a Behemoth Tmeya. So if you eat the Chamor, if you eat the Parah, that's the Vlad of the Chamor, 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 all the way back to Sheshes Meibreshes, you're eating a chamor and you're going to get malchus. Or should I say no? That since the para de vlad has malagem of his parso, so it's really a kosher animal. It's not a behemoth mea. But since it was born from a chamorro, so it's also because of yetzim and atome tome. Like the milk of a chamor is also. But according to the Raman, milk of a chamor is only an iser esse, it's not an iser lav. So maybe over here, if you have Chamor, 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 till sheishes and mibreishes, and then it gives birth, a mutation gives birth to a parah. So that's the shaila. Do you say, this parah is a chamor, and you're eating chamor, because that's what the, it's a mutation of a chamor. Basically, it is a chamor. So therefore, there's a loy sassy. But you say, no, since this blood has malagem afis parsa, has simone tahara. Basically, it's a behema torah, but it's a yotze min atomi, since it was godel be iser. So there'll be an Iser Esse. That's the one of Kamina. Will it be Malchus if you eat the Vlad? Or will it only be an Iser Esse according to the Ramda? Yotzman Atami Tami is only an Iser Esse. Another Nafkamina they give is, can you write a Sefer Torah on the parchment? You can only write a Sefer Torah on parchment that was made from hide of a behemoth Torah. So if you say, Chamor, 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 till sheishes meibresh, now gives birth to a parah. Since the vlad has malagem afis parsa, it's really kosher, it's a kosher animal, but it's yotze min atomei. So that, yotze min atomei, but it's not really a behemoth tmeya. Then you can use the parchment for writing sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzas. But if you say, no, it's not yotze min atomei, it's mamash a behemoth tmeya. Because all the way back, Sheshes Meibreshes, every generation it was a chamor, chamor, chamor. So the parah who is born now, it's just a mutation. Basically, it's also a chamor. So it's not, you cannot use that hide to convert it and make parchment for a sefer Torah. So that's a diyun in the Pesach Tshuva and Yerideya. In a few places, he quotes this discussion. What's the nature of the Okay, I just wanted to, before we close, I wanted to have a comment on the Parsha, on Parsha's Naso, this week's Sedra. You have the Dinim of Soito. So the Soito, you have a Soito Vadai and a Soito Sofik. Soito Vadai and Eishes Ishes Itzel. We call that a Soito Vadai. And in the Parsha, you have a Soito Sofik. The husband is suspicious. He doesn't know for sure that the wife was Zinso. He's just suspicious. So he warns his wife, Altistri Imish Blaini, I don't trust you. I think you're having an affair with someone. So he says, I don't want you to be misyachet with him. basically there's no Issa Yichud. Let's say it's Baila Bahir. There's no Issa Yichud, the husband is in the same city. But if the husband wants his wife, Faltistri Mishplani, because I'm Choshed Yubiznus, so she better not, she's not allowed to be Mishyachah with Ishplani. She'll be Mishyachah, she'll be Asura al Baila. And still she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and drinks the Maim HaMorim. Today we don't have any Maim HaMorim. So the Gemara says in the first half in Saito, a person should not warn his wife, Altistri Mishplani, because she'll become Asura al Baila, and there won't be any way to be Matar her. So it's interesting. When the Chumash fills the whole din of Saito Sofek, when the husband is Choshed his wife, there's Kinu Yastir. Kinu means the Hasra, he wants his wife, Altistri Mishplani, and Stira means she's Mishyachet with that person. So the Balatanya writes that the Avnezer quotes this from the Balatanya. Stira is not the same as Yichud. Let's say he's choshed that his wife is having an affair with her brother or with her father. Strictly speaking, there is no Yisa Yichud with your father or your brother. But if the husband warns her about history, Emish Pleni, I think you're having an affair with your father or your brother, then even though there's no Yisa Yichud, but that's called Stira, she'll become Asura al Bailam. Or let's say you have a big firm and you have 500 people working the firm. At the end of the day, everybody goes home at a different time. At the end of the day, you're left. Two people are left in the office. One is an Eish Yisish, and one is the man that the husband is choshed her business. So that's called Yichud, but that's not called Stira. Stira is only if they went in together. That's what the Baal HaTanya says. Stira is his wife and the man that he's choshed her with went in together into the room. But if you had 500 people, each one came at a different time, a big law firm, then at the end of the day, everybody leaves at a different time, and then two people are left behind, that'll be a shayla v'isa yichud, but it won't be called stira, because they didn't go into the room together. So the pasuk quotes the nusach ha-shvuah, that the kohen is mashbir, yishbir kohenes ha-isha. So he uses a lashon, ad ki nitmeis. Nitmeis means she was mizana, and loy nitmeis means she was not mizana. Why does the Chumash use a lashon nitmeis? A funny lashon. So the Gemara has a comment, and the Gemara says from the usage of that verb, nitmeis, we learn out another din. That sofik tuma b'shusayachet sveikatame, and sofik tuma b'shusaram sveikator. The original pasuk talks about an eish yisish. If an eish yisish violates yichud, you don't say the woman is asura baila because she did yichud. She violated an avera of yichud, doesn't asa. But if there was kini astira, then the yichud does asa. If there was kini astira, then the yichud does asa. So, because that's sofik soita, sharei kini la binistura, there's raglaim ledover. So that's why she becomes asura. So the fact that the pasuk uses the lashon nitmeis is an allusion to the fact that just like sofik soita, the yishus hayochid, if there's no one else there in the room, only his wife and the other man is choshed with, so if sofik she's asura baila, so too sofik tamu yishus hayochid sveikatam is landaf on that pasuk. So that's what the Gemara seems to say in the first parak in Nida, the first parak in Chulin. So the Avnei Nezer has a very fascinating suggestion to interpret a Gemara in Soita Daf Hey. He quotes from the Kuzari. Daphne Nezer quotes from the Kuzari. The Kuzari is a historical novel. We know that it's true. There was a long period of time that there's a Jewish government ruling over a big chunk of Russia. Under the communists, they didn't allow the publication of any of this information. They didn't want it to become public knowledge that there was a period of time, a long period of time, that there was a Jewish government controlling big chunks of Russia. But it's a fact. So after communism collapsed, a year after, they published a lot. They were doing research for years about this. The story of the Kuzarim is a true story. We don't know all the details. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote this historical novel. How did it happen? So the story goes that the Melech HaKuzarim had a dream that Kavanascha Ritzuya v'Masecha Einem Ritzuyim, you want to worship God, but you're worshiping the wrong religion. So he didn't know what that meant, so he invited a Christian scholar and an Islam scholar to present about their religion. He didn't think the Jewish religion could possibly be the true religion because the Jews were downtrodden, and everybody was mevazeh the Jews. But then when the Islam representative and the Christian galach said that their religion is based on the Jewish religion, so he wanted to find out more about the Jewish religion. So he invited a chaver, a rabbi, and the rabbi presented Judaism, and he fell in love with it, so the king converted, then he had his cabinet converted, then he had all the people converted, and then we know historically the Jewish community in Cordova, in Spain, used to send letters, and used to send rabbonim every so often to teach the kuzarim, this group of geirim, to teach them what the halachas are, how to observe the mitzvahs and the Torah. So this Sefer HaKuzari is a historical novel about Yonah HaLevi, about how it probably happened. Maybe it happened like this. So he has the possible conversation between the Melech HaKuzarim and the Chover and the rabbi. So the Melech HaKuzarim asks, among other things, but you people, you claim to be Orthodox, you follow all the laws in the Torah. But I know it says in the Torah that when a person is Tomei, he touches a dead sheretz, or he becomes a balkari, whatever, he has to go to the mikveh. You people are not going to the mikveh. You are not observing what it says in the Torah Shebichsav. So what do you tell me, that you follow everything in the Bible? So the chaver, the rabbi, says, no, you don't understand. We live in Russia. We live so far away from the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have any truma. We don't have any korbanos. We don't have any ma'aser sheni. Tuma is a problem. Tuma is a tie to the satsri with kedusha. So if you want to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you can't be tummy. You want to eat karbonis, you want to eat ma'aser sheni, you want to eat truma, that's a tie to the sasri. Tumah kedusha is tied to the sasri. But we live so far away, we don't have any dvarim kedoshim to eat, and no karbonis, so that's why all the laws don't apply. All the laws of tumah v'tar don't apply. So the Melech HaKuzarim asks, but why do you insist that your wife has to go to mikveh every month? If you say that you don't live with, you don't have any dvarim kedoshim, says no. Taras HaMishpacha has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tar. It's a separate din. Tumas Nida, Anida is Asura Labayla, is one din, and Anida is Tameya, is a different din, unrelated to a different din. That's why famous from the Kuzari. So, David Nezer picks up on that. He interprets the Gemara like this. Nezer picks up on that. So he says, the reason why it says V'nitmo, V'nitmo, by Eshes Isha Zinsa, in this week's Sedra, Midla Parsha Saita, Vatkin et Meis, is because in a Jewish marriage there's an element of Kedusha that's introduced. The Gemara has an Agadita in Saita that the word Ish has a Yud in it, the word Isha has a Hey. So the Yud and the Hey spell out Shem Hashem. So when a couple gets married, there's an element of Kedusha that's introduced into their lives. And the Gemara has in the beginning of Kiddushin, Gemara says when a man gets married, he says, Areat Ishti, Areat Muresisli, Areat Nisuasi, Areat Ezekinegdi, Areat Ezrasi, Negdasi, Talasi, Tachtoi, all these Lushanis, these are biblical Lushanis. If he says Areat Mukudeshes, that's a Lishna de Rabbanan. That's not in biblical Hebrew, the same Mukudeshes. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in the Gilyon HaShas, it's a Lishna de Rabbanan, but the concept is a biblical concept. When a Jewish couple gets married, an element of Kedusha is introduced into their marriage that wasn't there before. And when a woman is Eshes Isha Zinsa, that's why the Chumash uses the word V'nitma, because Tume creates a tie to the Sasri with Kedusha. If she's going to be Mezana, then it's going to break the Ishus. The Ishus usually contains, when the Ishus has a full Kedusha in it, so it contains two parts. She's Materis Lebaila and she's Asura Kuli Alma. But when the Eshes Isha Zinsa, she no longer has the Heter Lebaila, only has Asura Kuli Alma. So the Avnei Nezer interprets, there's a Gemara in the first Perek in Mishnah, if a couple was married and the wife became a Soita Sofik and the husband dies, the Yavam, his brother, is not allowed to do Yibam. Because in Bemutala Nesra, Basala Lakoshke, if she wasn't allowed to live with her husband, so she's certainly not allowed to live with the brother-in-law. Why is it a Kavachimer? You have Mishnayis where the woman wasn't allowed to live with her husband. Let's say the husband is a Kayan and she's a Grusha. So they got married to Issa. And his brother is a Cholo. So the husband dies. She is allowed to have Yibam. even though she was not allowed to live with the husband, was a kohen, she's a grusha, but the husband dies, so she's misyabemis, she's allowed to have yibum. Why is over here you have a kavachim b'mutal or nesala, but also not a koshken? She's not allowed to live with her husband, certainly not allowed to live with the yom. So that's what Avdei Nezer explains pshat in the Gemara, because when the woman becomes a soitom, the issus is partially broken. That's why it says v'nitma. Because tumah is attached to the sasri with kedusha, and every Jewish marriage contains an element. It's a lishna de rabbana, but the concept is a concept that exists on the level of the raisa. The Gemara in the beginning of kedusha discusses the man says harei chetzich mekudeshes li. The Gemara asks, why don't you say posh the kedusha bekula? Posh the kedusha bekula is a pasuk by karbonis, by kedusha. Here, what kedusha? You see, the concept is a concept there. I said that there's an element of kedusha that's introduced, that's supposed to be introduced into their lives. And when the issue is inside, so she breaks part of the issues. The issues only contains an isra kuli alma. It no longer contains a hetel abal. So if it doesn't have a hetel abal, so it doesn't have a hetel liyavam. It has an isra kuli alma, so that's why she needs chalitza. But the issues with the husband who died, who just died, already lost its aspect of the hetel abal. So she, the heter to the Yavam is a hemshech of the heter to the Baal. That's Avdei Nezer's interpretation. But I thought it was very interesting. He says, based on his quotation from the Kuzari, that's why the Chumash uses the Loshon v'nitma, because Tum is a type of sasri with Kedusha, and every Jewish marriage has the Yud Kei. The Gemara says, if the Eshuzish is Zinsa, then the Shechina leaves, the Yud Kei leaves, and you're left with Eish. Ish is spelled Aleph Yud Shin, you take out the Yud. Isha is spelled Aleph Shin Hei, you take out the Hei. So you're left with Eish, Eish HaMachloikas. Kozman, the Shechina is there, so it's good. The Shechina is present. There's an element of spirituality, there's an element of Kedusha in their marriage. But once the Eish is Ish is inside, so it's only Eish, the Shechina leaves. Okay, Glenetta, next week we'll have to continue in the Gemara Mcheres.
Thank you so much.